The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. The crowd said to Jesus, "What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat." So Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." So they said to Jesus, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger, and whoever believes in me will never thirst." The Gospel of the Lord. Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. The crowd said to Jesus, "Give us a sign that we might believe in you." People think that it's wrong to ask for a sign. But that's not an unreasonable thing to ask. "Give us a sign," the crowd say to Jesus, that we might believe in you." Once upon a time, Jesus had said, "It's a faithless and an unbelieving generation that asks for a sign." However, anytime anybody claims to speak with God's own authority, it's not an unreasonable thing to ask them for a sign. It happens all the time. I can't tell you how many times I've talked to students, and they'll ask me good questions. You know, they'll say things like, "How do we know that the Bible is true? I mean, why the Bible? Why not the Quran, or why not something else?" Very reasonable question. Very reasonable question. And it just goes to show that all of us need to know our faith well enough to be able to explain why we believe what we believe. It's not enough just to say, "I don't believe it. No, don't ask me any questions." Not enough. Usually when a person doesn't have a reason for believing what they believe, you know what they do when somebody asks them a question? They usually just make it an accusation against the questioner. Say, "Oh, don't ask me that. You're a bad person." This kind of talk does not change hearts, okay? Give us a sign that we might believe in you. Here's the sign. The sign is that Jesus Christ and his teaching and his grace dramatically change lives for the better. That's the sign. What's the sign that we should believe in Jesus? Jesus Christ and his teaching and his grace dramatically change lives for the better. And the proof of that is in the lives of the saints. Saint Stephen, for example, heard about him in our first reading. Saint Stephen is a sign. Here's somebody who's unjustly accused, unjustly, most unjustly executed, stoned to death, breathing his last, praying for the people who were killing him, forgiving them himself and begging God to forgive them as well. That's a sign. That's greatly, greatly good. And the reason is Jesus Christ. And when they were finished, they threw their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. You know him better as St. Paul. St. Paul was a sign. Here's somebody who dedicated himself to attacking and killing people based on what they believe. Completely converted by Jesus Christ. To go on to become one of the greatest evangelizers and saints in history. That's a sign. That's greatly good. And the reason is Jesus Christ. The apostles themselves are signs. I love to think about the lives of the apostles. Because these guys were petty, fickle, ambitious cowards they were. There was nothing great about them until Jesus Christ turned their lives around. And these very same scallywags, they became bold, courageous heroes. And Jesus Christ is the reason. Right? That is a sign. Give us a sign that we might believe in you. Here's the sign. The saints show us how true the teaching of Jesus is. If you can find me any group of people, anywhere, better than the saints, tell me what they believe, I'll sign right up. I really will. The reason why I'm a Catholic is because in all my life, I've never seen greater goodness than I've seen in the lives of the saints. And the truth of what they believe is the sign that Jesus Christ speaks the truth. Now, I'll just preemptively answer you a couple of real common objections that people raise sometimes when somebody makes this point. Here's the first objection. People will say this. They'll say, yeah. The church produces some saints, I'll admit. However, the rank and file of Christians really isn't all that impressive. And the church produces its share of scallywags and criminals too. So much for your sign. You know what the response to that is? Would you believe that is not a true statement? That's the response. It is not a true statement that the church produces scallywags and criminals. And here's why. Because you judge a medicine by the one who takes it, not by the one who doesn't. The scallywags and the criminals in church history were the same people who did not do what Jesus Christ asked of them. Right? You judge a medicine by the one who takes it. And that's the description of the saints. Here's another common objection. People will say this. They'll say, yeah, the saints were real great, but that doesn't help me. Because, you know, I'm just not like that. On my best days, I'm 50% hypocrite, so I'm just made of different material. Don't ever talk like that. Don't ever think that. Don't ever compare yourself to other people. There's only one person you want to compare yourself with, one. You want to compare yourself to who you were yesterday. As long as you're, none of us is perfect, right? We're all a mess to some degree or another. The question is, are we heading in the right direction or not? Don't say I'm a hypocrite, ever. Say rather this, I might not be who I'm supposed to be, but I'm sure as heck not who I used to be. And Jesus Christ is the reason. A little thought for you for the day. Give us a sign that we might believe in you. Here's the sign. Jesus takes sinners and makes them into saints. Let's pray that he can make a sign of us as well. Amen.